Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic and guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly, the films Hamnet, Merrily We Roll Along, and The Mastermind.
I'd like to start off today talking about Hamnet. This is a movie that's been getting a lot of buzz. I think it is a pretty good movie. It's certainly not a great movie. It's a pretty good movie. One reason I like it, though, is that it is about a very high cultural subject. It's about William Shakespeare. The title is Hamnet, not Hamlet. And this is because back in Shakespeare's time, those two names were sort of interchangeable. Hamlet and Hamnet, people would say either one and it would mean the same thing. In a similar spirit, the main female character of the new movie, her name is Agnes, even though Shakespeare's actual wife in real life was named Anne Hathaway. Here she's called Agnes. Apparently these two back in Shakespeare's time were more or less interchangeable names. So you have to get used to a little bit of switcheroo like that. But basically this is a story about William Shakespeare and his wife, known here as Agnes. Yes, and their little kids, including a little boy named Hamlet. So we start off the movie with the courtship of William Shakespeare and his young wife. I mean, she's not his wife yet. He meets her and he courts her, and eventually they have sex and she gets pregnant and then they get married. We also have some tensions in William Shakespeare's own household, where his father regards him as lazy and a wastrel and a good for nothing because all he wants to do is write instead of working with his hands and out in the fields and stuff like that, like other members of the family. So there's unhappiness in William's life for that. But he manages to marry his beloved Agnes, and eventually they have some kids, and one of those kids is a little boy named Hamnet. So one thing that goes on is that, and this used to happen a lot back in that period of history. Of course, Shakespeare lived in the years around 1600, the late 1500s into the early 1600s. And back in that time, the plague was a terrible thing that came along every once in a while and would kill a lot of people. And what happens is that one of the Shakespeare's young children is stricken with the plague, and Hamnet wants to comfort her and lies down next to her. He's just a little boy, and she gets better, but Hamnet then contracts the plague and he dies. Now, that's a bit of a spoiler, I know, but this is really what the movie is about. It's called Hamnet, and it's not about the little boy. It's really about William Shakespeare and his wife, and most of all, actually, it's about the wife, Agnes. But we have this terrible event that happens, and that is really the crux of the movie. And then various tensions arise between William and Agnes, and he by now is off in London a lot of the time, being a very important playwright and working with a theater company. He's also an actor. That was true about Shakespeare. He was an actor as well as a playwright. He was very heavily involved in the theater business back in his time. So we have that, and he's separated from Agnes a lot, and there's various tensions between them. Eventually, we have, and I'm not going to give too much away about this, but at the end of the movie, Shakespeare is putting on his new play, Hamlet. And he, in fact, is acting in the play. He's playing the ghost of Hamlet's father. And Agnes goes to see the play because she is outraged. She is very, very upset that William has put their dead little son Hamnet as apparently the main character of this play, where Hamlet is, of course, a grown-up person, and he's the Prince of Denmark and all of that. So Agnes is very, very upset about all this stuff. So she goes to see the play, carrying her anger with her. And I won't give away the ending of the film. I have to say that I thought the ending of the film was absolutely the worst part. It gets absolutely sappy and sentimental, and I didn't like it. Most of the movie is very, very dark, very, very mournful, very, very sad. among other things. It's about tensions in households. It's about the plague. It's about the death of a child. It's about all these kinds of very sad things. And the movie carries that through. My gosh, they almost never turn on the lights. I mean, the people who made this movie. It's very visually dark. It's very thematically dark. It's very narratively dark. But most of the way, it held my interest, it held my attention, I respected it, up until we get to that very last part, which I thought was just awful, and it's always unfortunate when a pretty good movie manages to end itself in what I regard as a very unsatisfactory way. That said, anybody interested in Shakespeare, anybody interested in the Elizabethan world, anybody just interested in movies about prior periods of history that are made with a lot of, oh, just a lot of sincerity and a lot of creativity should absolutely see Hamnet. I have to say it was co-written and directed by Chloe Zhao, a good filmmaker, here she is more or less hitting it again. I just wish that the ending of the film were more satisfactory. So go see Hamnet, and if you take my advice, you might leave before the last 10 minutes. Not really. See it, and then you can make up your own mind about it. Next movie I want to talk about is very, very different, although it also has to do a little bit with the theater. In fact, very much with the theater. It's called Merrily We Roll Along. And this is a movie which is directed by Maria Friedman, and it is basically a stage production of a Stephen Sondheim musical called Merrily We Roll Along, which was filmed in order to preserve a recent stage production of that musical. Now, this has an interesting history. Merrily We Roll Along, music and lyrics by Stephen Sondheim, George Firth wrote the rest of it, the book, as they call it, originally opened in 1981. And interestingly, it was a total flop. It closed in almost no time at all. Really, really did very badly. Apparently, it was cast with very young people, and audiences didn't like it. And, oh, my gosh, it closed really, really quickly. What a flop. But it wasn't dead. And now it has very recently been brought back by this director, Maria Friedman, who gave it a brand new production. And it won 4 Tony Awards just last year. And it had a terrific cast, Daniel Radcliffe, Lindsay Mendez, Jonathan Groff, and it really turned into a big hit. So this musical, which was a flop back when it first started, then turned into a great big hit just recently, just last year, and now it has been captured on film. And what the filmmakers did was they filmed 3 performances in front of a live audience, and then they could splice together the best parts of those 3 performances. And then they also had it done once without an audience, so they could get up on the stage and get close-ups and things like that. So it's a spliced together version of 3 different, actually more than 3 different performances, but it moves very smoothly on the screen. This is filmed theater. That's what it is. It makes no apologies for that. There's no efforts to, as they say in the trade, open it up by giving us outdoor scenes or by showing us the characters going to other places. It's all filmed on a stage, but it works nicely. The songs are so sprightly. They are so energetic. They are often so clever. And there's some pretty funny jokes along the way. It's just a good, good musical. I haven't even said what it's about yet. 3 main characters. There is a playwright. There is a composer, and there is a novelist who is now turning into a playwright. So these are the 3 main characters. So this is a filmed play very much about the theater, about making plays. But what's interesting about this story is that it unfolds backwards. It starts in 1976, we start the movie, the show and the movie, at a party in Los Angeles, and we can see that the very close relationship of these 3 people has somehow fallen apart. There's all kinds of tension there. They're not getting along. Then, through 9 different scenes, the story moves backwards so that it ends in 1957. So we start in 1976. We end in 1957 when these 3 people are in their 20s and they are first meeting and they're on a rooftop in New York and they're watching Sputnik, the satellite, going overhead, and they're thinking about what they hope will be their glorious futures in the world of the theater. So it's an interesting story. What makes it interesting, though, as a movie, is not just the story. It's really much more the songs and the interaction and the very, very good acting by a very, very good cast. So I've already mentioned some of them, but I'll just go through again. We have Jonathan Groff and Lindsay Mendez and Daniel Radcliffe and Reg Rogers and Katie Rose Clark and Natalie Walken. A good, good cast, and they have a good time with this show. So It's about 2.5 hours long. If you don't want to spend 2.5 hours watching a movie, which is just basically all set on a stage, of course, there's scenery and we have a good sense of different places and whatnot, but that's basically it. If that's not your cup of tea, then probably shouldn't see Merrily We Roll Along. But if you like the musical theater, and I sort of do, when I was younger, I loved musical theater. In more recent years, I've sort of fallen away from it. It doesn't please me so much anymore. I find it too tied up in formulas. But this is a good one, and it's very nicely presented on the screen. And hey, you know, you can watch it, and you don't have to sit through a long intermission with nothing to do, as you might have to do in the theater, and it moves along quite quickly and in a lively manner. So I really do recommend Merrily We Roll Along. It's a nice, nice movie and a wonderful tribute to a very good show and a tribute to the musical theater as well. So for my final attraction today, I would like to talk about a movie called The Mastermind. This is a film made by Kelly Reichardt, a very, very good filmmaker. She's made terrific movies like Wendy and Lucy and Certain Women and Meek's Cutoff, a Western, which is absolutely phenomenally good. She's a very independent movie, does not work in the big Hollywood production type world, and she's really, really, really talented, a really good filmmaker. I wasn't so crazy about her last film called First Cow. It's a good movie, but it doesn't really live up to her real highest standard. And for the whole first part of The Mastermind, her new movie, I just thought she was falling down again. But then the movie really changed in the second half, and I decided I really ultimately like it a lot. So here's what The Mastermind is about. It's about a guy who is by no means a mastermind. He is played by Josh O'Connor, and he is a guy who has money troubles. And I should mention that his name is James. Money troubles and is a wastrel and doesn't get along with his parents, and they're basically still supporting him. And he has convinced his mother that he has this great project, that he's going to build some cabinets for somebody, and that's just fine. But actually, he tells her this to get some money out of her because he is planning a big deal robbery. So he and some accomplices go to an art museum in the town of Framingham in Massachusetts, and they steal a few paintings right off the walls. And then they have to go and hide the paintings, and that is the mastermind is behind all this. They come really, really close to getting caught, but he manages to get the paintings squirreled away somewhere, and then he has to get the paintings turned into money, which he desperately needs to pay back his mother and to support himself. And then it turns out that some people are onto him, and he loses control of the paintings. And after that, the movie changes its tone a great deal. Now, the problem with the first part of The Mastermind, it's perfectly entertaining to watch James do his robbery and put together all of that. But it is such a stupid robbery. It's unbelievable to think, really implausible. I didn't buy it for a minute, that anybody could think they could get away with a robbery so badly planned and so badly done. It's just idiotic. They're doing it in the light of day. There's people in the museum. They're sort of scurrying down the corridors with these paintings, hoping nobody will spot them. It's simply preposterous. I didn't believe for a minute, and I thought the movie was getting off to a really bad start. The character of James was interesting. His parents are interesting. Some of his accomplices are interesting, but not that interesting. And the whole robbery is just so stupidly done. Again, part of the point of this movie is that the mastermind isn't really a mastermind. He's really kind of a dumb guy who plans this thing really badly and gets away with it more through sheer luck than anything else. And then it turns out eventually he hasn't gotten away with it at all. So the whole first part of the movie I just thought was implausible, and I didn't believe it, even though it was mildly entertaining. Then, however, once he is completely down on his luck, once he has absolutely no money, once he has to get out of town, has no place to go, starts imposing on friends in other places, and they really don't want him around, partly because they know what he's done and they're afraid now they're going to be implicated in that, then the movie gets really not just good, but excellent. We have this guy sort of roaming around from place to place, getting more and more desperate, but never in a way that's sentimental or melodramatic. and just trying somehow to survive from one day to the next and figure out what his next move might be. This part of the movie is absolutely fascinating. So I'm saying the first half and the second half, that's only roughly speaking, but more or less the first part of the movie, when the robbery takes place, sets the whole plot into motion, and is in fact the first part of the plot. That part, I just thought it was ridiculously done, and I don't think it's good. It has its entertaining aspects, yes, but it doesn't work. But that second half of the movie, roughly speaking, when poor James is just trying to just somehow survive and get through from one day to the next, and these poor friends of his who he's trying to impose on him, what is going through their minds, this is just fascinating filmmaking, beautifully done, beautifully written, beautifully acted, beautifully everything. So The Mastermind, half an excellent movie. That's about all I can say for it. But hey, half an excellent movie is better than none of an excellent movie. So The Mastermind, 50% terrific. And that is my somewhat mixed story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Hamnet, Merrily We Roll Along, and The Mastermind.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.